Nami to come and encourage us for this week ahead. Amen? Amen. Let's give her a hand.
Thank you. Sorry, I've lost my card. Yeah. Morning, church. Morning. How is everyone?
Good.
Thank you. You good? Are you all good?
Yes.
Nobody's lying. Would you tell me if you were?
Yes.
Okay, you're all good. All right, well, welcome to everyone, especially our visitors. We like to call them our VIPs. I'm Pastor Nami, if we haven't met. Okay. So it was really great to hear what both Pastor Donovan and Tammy said. Very similar. Tammy spoke about during worship, release, killing everything. I don't know where she is, but she was talking about that God take it quickly, the things that need to die. And then Pastor Donovan talked about releasing things to the Lord because Jesus paid it all. And it made me think, yesterday I had the privilege of sharing at C3 Stand at their women's event. And the message I shared was on who told you that you are naked, based on Genesis 3, the encounter that Adam and Eve had with God in the garden when they hid from the Lord. And Adam said, we were naked. We hid because we were naked. And he said, who told you that you are naked? And so there is something that happened in that garden to humanity, something that happened to Eve and Adam. And that same thing is still happening to us in 2026 in Perth, WA. Most people, when we look at that statement, who told you that you are naked, we think about the devil, we think about the serpent, that yes, the serpent told them. But the serpent did not tell them that they were naked. They perceived their nakedness and interpreted it a certain way after they ate of the forbidden fruit, because they were told, if you do not, you can eat all, but do not touch the fruit from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you will surely die, certainly die. And they took it, and it says that after that, that's when they were ashamed. God knew they were naked, so when he was asking who told you that you were naked, he wasn't denying that. They were always naked, but they were always unashamed until that moment. And that has remained with humanity, that perception that I must hide because I am naked. A lot of us are very good at hiding. The problem is they were hiding. They were playing hide and seek with God. I don't think you can play hide and seek with God. He can see you. There's no way you can go from God. You can hide from people, but not from God. But that was the big, big error. Hiding from their heavenly Father, because the original relationship was such that they walked in the garden with God. Adam walked with God freely until that moment. So I really wanted to highlight that idea that when we talk about releasing things to God, when we ask God to kill everything that is standing in the way, we have to understand that God cannot kill anything that we are not willing to release. A lot of it has to do with our decision. We have to partner with God. And sometimes we look at our lives and think, things are not happening in our lives because God is not doing it or the devil is doing something, when in fact, it's us. We're told that Eve, before she ate the fruit, it says that she saw that it was good for food. She saw that it was pleasing to the eye and that it was good for gaining wisdom. The issue was not just the seeing, the issue was the inner voice that came after that. There was an inner voice that said, yes, Eve, go ahead. It wasn't the devil. It was the inner voice. So for all of us, even as we go into these 7 days, may we look at what our inner voice is saying. Our identity is in Christ. Our authority is in Christ. But for a lot of us, we don't actually live the lives that the Lord has called us to because of our inner voice. So today we begin a two-part series on fasting. It's funny, I don't know if this happens to you, but all of a sudden, when I think about fasting, I was trying to worship and I was starting to imagine chicken in all its versions, different ways of cooking it. I mean, I never do that except this week when we're about to fast. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:16 that when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. It's not if you fast, but rather when you fast. For some people, the idea of fasting may seem unusual. It's new, and you may be wondering, why would anyone choose not to eat or deprive themselves of food? But that word just that I just read says, do not look somber, which is dark, gloomy, depressingly serious, because that's how one might feel when they're hungry and not able or choosing not to satisfy that hunger. Biblical fasting is not about punishing ourselves. It's not about proving our spirituality. It's not about ticking a box or trying to earn God's love. We already are fully loved. And we're already accepted through Christ Jesus. So fasting is actually a voluntary decision to set aside something that normally satisfies us. To intentionally seek God with a greater focus and dependence. So we see throughout the Bible that there are different ways and different reasons why people fast. Some fasted for repentance. They humbled themselves, confessing sin. Some fasted to seek wisdom and direction, you know, when facing really important decisions. I know for myself, that's always been a big thing. If I have a big decision to make, fasting would be my go-to. People fasted to intercede for others, you know, when other people are going through really big, big issues and maybe they're not able to fast for themselves. People would fast on their behalf. People would fast when they were mourning or grieving. And people would fast when they were preparing for God's work. But most importantly, people fast to seek God and draw near to Him. And as a church, twice a year, we have made a commitment to engage in a seek God fast, where the primary purpose is pursuing a deeper relationship with God. That's really the key thing, rather than trying to get something from Him. The heart behind it is, God, I want more of you. I want you more than I want comfort, more than I want to satisfy my appetites. And out of that, we believe we will hear what the Lord is saying to us as individuals, as couples, as families, as a church community. As C3 Kwinana, C3 Fremantle, C3, we inquire of the Lord. We look to sharpen our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and to understand the heart of God for us as a congregation. You know, the scripture talks about seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things will be added as a bonus as you first seek the kingdom of God. So if you're taking notes, the title of my message today is Life-Giving Disciples Seek Him. Life-Giving Disciples Seek Him. This year, our focus as a church has been on becoming life-giving disciples. But the thing is, you cannot give what you don't have. If our lives are empty, distracted, we're weary, and we're disconnected from God, we have very little to offer anybody else. You know, Andrew shared last week when he was talking about being planted, he talked about the importance of not just being planted for the sake of your own sake, but for the impact it will have on other people. So it's twofold. The things we do as Christians are twofold. One is for us. One is for us to have influence in our world, in the circles that the Lord has placed us. So before we can be life-giving to anyone, we must first receive life from the one who is life itself. So life-giving disciples seek him. In the book of John, we hear the Lord saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So fruitfulness comes from staying connected to the vine. And fasting is one way we intentionally deepen that connection. Intentionally is the key word. We choose intentionally. So as we seek God, he fills us with his presence, his peace, his wisdom, his love, and his power. I have never, ever, I'm yet to hear someone say, I fasted, and it was horrible. Well, apart from the hunger, but I've never really heard someone say, I regret fasting. I really haven't. I hear things like, I really want to learn to fast more. That was a really good experience. Never the opposite. So before we ask God to change our circumstances, he wants to change us. Before he can work through our hands, he wants to capture our hearts. And so before we can become life-giving to others, we must first become people who are continually seeking from the Lord, the giver of life. Isaiah 58 is one of my favorite scriptures, and it's focused on fasting. So this week we're going to do verse 1 to 5, and next week we're going to do the rest of it. It says, shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Isaiah 58 is one of the strongest chapters in the Bible on fasting because God exposes something interesting. For day after day, they seek me. At first, this sounds really positive. God says they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways. They appear righteous and they ask for justice. We're praying. We have a lot of prayer meetings in this church where we're really seeking the Lord. They seem eager for God. These people were fasting, but God was not accepting it. Imagine praying, doing your daily devotion, worshiping, giving, serving, fasting, saying no to certain lifestyles. Yet heaven says, nope, that's not it. That should make every one of us pause. I'm doing all these things. I'm following your commands. I'm doing all that has been listed, all that I've been taught, and it's still not right. There's a difference between seeking God himself and seeking what God can give me. So from the outside, everything looks spiritual. I'm attending church. I pray, I fast, I sing the songs. We just sang the songs. I lift up my hands in worship. But who knows, appearances can be deceiving. We can all do church on a Sunday. Many people seek God for protection, for blessings, healing, provision, breakthrough, without actually seeking God himself. I remember in high school, the number of people who would just, when it's exam time, they run to all the Christians. I wasn't a Christian back then. They run to all the Christians. Can you please pray for me? Forget that I haven't studied. Life-giving disciples don't simply seek God's hand. They seek his heart. They ask different types of questions. Instead of asking God, why haven't you answered me? They ask God, would you search me? Would you search my heart and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting? That was David. He genuinely wanted the Lord to search his heart. And I'm sure some of us, if not all of us, have prayed that prayer, but that's a dangerous prayer. Because when you tell someone to search you, you're giving them permission. You're giving them permission to go in there and expose some things. We're giving God permission to expose our pride, to expose our arrogance, to expose our jealousy, our aggression, our judgmental and critical spirit. Biblical fasting is not simply saying no to food, it's saying yes to God and being intentional about creating space for him. I remember a few months ago, Andrew spoke about creating margin. Creating margin. And fasting is one of those ways that we create margin. We create space for God. Creating margin allows you to be able to do all the other things. God isn't looking for impressive fasting. He's looking for surrendered disciples. Because life-giving disciples don't just fast food or electronics or whatever other pleasures you can think of. They seek him and they ask him to reveal himself. Life-giving disciples don't just seek him. They are aligned. They are aligned. And the Lord Jesus modeled this for us. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why did he do that? Alignment. The question is, do we recognize, when we talk about Christ being our example, do we recognize that there was a purpose to him withdrawing? Before the miracles, before the ministry, and even before going about his Father's business, he sought the Father. The relationship always came before the responsibility. For a lot of us, it's the other way around. We do the work of God first and then try and maintain the relationship. So what are we seeking? Because sometimes fasting can become another religious thing we do. We don't want that as C3. We don't want fasting to be something. Oh yeah, we do fasting twice a year. Tick. We don't want it to be that. You know, where you say, oh, if I fast 3 days, I know God will answer. If I fast 21 days, God will open doors. If I fast enough, God will pay attention to my needs and requests. That's religious. Isaiah reminds us God cannot be manipulated. Fasting is not spiritual leverage, but rather it's spiritual surrender. Verse 3 says, why have we fasted and you have not seen it? Here we notice the people's disappointments. They're asking God questions, but they're asking from entitlement. God, I do this and then you do this. We fasted, we sacrificed. So why haven't you done your part, God? God's response is eye-opening. He says, while you're fasting, you're still exploiting people. You're pursuing selfish ambition. You're quarreling, you're fighting. Your outward sacrifice has not produced inward transformation. There is no alignment between your outward actions and your inner world. We must be careful not to compartmentalize our Christian walk, because God sees everything. I cannot worship God on Sunday and wound people on Monday and think God doesn't see. I cannot pray with lifted hands and not care about crushing people with my words. I'm very big on words. Some people don't care about the words that they use, but words, to me, words are seeds. Your words are powerful. But some of us throw out words like they're nothing. They'll say things, oh, you're too sensitive. Words are powerful. I always say to people, think about it this way. Instead of saying that person is too sensitive, if the Lord himself was there, would you still say it exactly like that? That's just one way that I do it. Sometimes the way that we use words is to gossip. And I always say, would you say that exact same thing if the person was sitting in front of you, the person you're talking about? And here's the thing. If someone can talk about someone else in your presence, rest assured they will talk about you with other people. Don't think that you're different or special, and I don't mean that in a mean way. If they can come and whisper in your ear and say, just between me and you, be careful of just between me and you. Because they will go and do it with someone else. Words. God sees everything. My love for God is demonstrated in the love I have for people. Isaiah 58 verse 4 says, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. After you have done all of this, humbled yourself before the Lord, gone without food for 7 days. Your relationships are still messed up. You're not getting along with people. You're arguing. You're opinionated. You always have to be right. It says striking each other with wicked fists. That really caught my eye. I was thinking, why did they have to put that word there? Why did the Lord say wicked fists? Why not just say striking each other with fists? Wicked fists symbolizes actions that are driven by something. It was about the motives. Driven by anger, driven by malice. Striking each other with wicked fists, it can be literal, right? Hitting, fighting, but I don't think a lot of us, some of us here have been in a fight. Definitely, I have never been in a fight. I would just play dead if I thought somebody wanted to fight with me. I'll faint, that's it. I'll pretend I'm fainted, I'm that kind. But some of us here know what a physical, in fact, some of us here look for fights. It also says abusive, right? Wicked fists. People can be abusive, have oppressive behaviors, using power to harm, to intimidate, to exploit people. In order to have wicked fists, you have to have wickedness in you. A lot of us don't know that we are wicked, but God does. But we can be wicked. We have blind spots. God hates hypocrisy. Claiming to honor God through religious rituals while treating other people in a cruel manner. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. We all have a voice that cries out to God. We're praying, we're asking God. I know one of the things that I do when someone is going through something, I always say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And I know a lot of us do that. But here's the thing. Do you realize every time you say to someone, let me pray for you, You're saying it with the assumption that God, heaven, sorry, that God hears you, hears your prayer, and that he will answer your prayer. That's why you're saying to the person, can I pray for you? You're taking a step of faith. But it says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Heaven has a standard. Not all prayers are equal. Our voice will be heard, but it will be measured against our level of hypocrisy. David says in Psalm 139:23 to 24, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In the next 7 days, whichever way you're going to fast, my prayer is that you would take that step of faith to say to God, search me. And give him permission to search you. And be willing to hear what he has to say. And not say, get behind me, Satan, when God tells you something about yourself. You know, I always remember, I don't know where this story is from, but I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, where someone was asking God to rescue them, and God sent 3 boats. Yeah? And the person was like, nah, that's not it for each one of them. And then I think he died and went to heaven and said, I asked for help and you never helped me. He says, I sent you 3 boats and you never took them up, because the person had in his mind what it would look like. Sometimes God uses people to correct us, to point out the things about us that need to change. But we interpret things the way we want to. Nah, can't be God. He's my husband, so God can't talk through my husband to tell me, to correct me. No, that's my kids. No way God can use my kids. Oh, she doesn't attend church. God can't use her. We have our own ideas of who God will use to speak to us, and we dismiss feedback and we dismiss correction. We dismiss the wisdom of God because it's not coming in a package that we envisioned. So, let's get practical as I wrap it up. What does seeking God look like during a fast? You may have never fasted before. Many people structure their day around spiritual practices that replace the time that you would normally spend eating or engaging in things that are distracting. So, for example, it's good to begin the day with prayer and scripture. Pray whenever you feel that hunger, as a reminder of your dependence on God. Let that be your cue. Journal what you're sensing God is teaching you. You may have never journaled before. You may hate writing. If you hate writing, then do a voice memo. Do something. Read passages that focus on God's character. End the day with thanksgiving. Take part in what we will be doing with the devotional. I'll talk about the card in a minute, but there'll be a devotional at the end of every night. The emphasis should shift from what am I giving up to how am I drawing closer to God. The Bible shows us there's many legitimate ways of fasting. You know, the most common normal one is, you know, no food but water. The other one is absolute fast, no food, no water. This is a complete fast, and it's usually done for a very short period. You know, some people fasted 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, 40 days. We're doing 7 days. And then there's the partial fast. The Daniel fast is an example of that, where certain foods are limited. We're coming together as a congregation, doing this together in unity. But here's a caution. If you are someone who's taking medication, if you are someone who's got a condition that can be impacted, like or maybe even an eating disorder, please make sure you talk to your doctor first. Get the necessary advice. Pastor Stephen said something really interesting in Fremantle. He says, let's not be too spiritual, where you're saying, okay, because I'm fasting, I'm not taking my medication this whole week. That is foolishness. So we need to be very wise how we do this. So I want to finish off with this. Isaiah 58 begins with an uncomfortable truth. It is possible to practice spiritual disciplines without spiritual transformation. It is possible. So we're doing this together. You decide how you're going to do it. But there's these cards here. Can I get the band or someone to come, guitar? We've got these cards here, these Seek God Fast. At the back there's a QR code that will let you into the Zoom, 7 p.m. every night, 30 minutes for a devotional. If you can join us, that would be wonderful. If you're not able or you hate being on Zoom or whatever, set the time aside and just pray. But there is at the back there, write three things you're believing for personally during the prayer and fast. This is not about, will God do it? It's about, I'm taking a step of faith, believing that He's God of the impossible. So like I said, the Seek God Fast is about your relationship with God. But we're also given that opportunity at the back for you to write down things that you're believing God for. It's a step of faith that we're taking. All right, so I'm just going to finish. If I get you to just stand up, just want to give an opportunity for people who have never really had a chance to seek Christ, connect with Christ. I just want to say a prayer. We call it the salvation prayer. So we're just going to pray together. I'll say some words and you just pray after me. And then at the end, we'll ask you to just, you know, raise your hand if you pray the prayer for the first time. So let's just close our eyes and pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and take over. I want to live the rest of my life for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With every eye closed, if you pray that prayer for the first time, can I just see a show of hands? If you pray that prayer for the very first time, thank you. Father, we just thank you for that hand that was raised, Lord. We thank you for her courage, her bravery, her step of faith. We thank you that heaven rejoices when anyone makes a decision to say yes to you. And I pray for my sister, Lord, that she will see for herself from this day forth that you are a God of love, you're a God of peace. You're a God who has a plan and a purpose, who've always had a plan and a purpose for her life, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that she has made this decision as part of this church community. And I pray, Father, that there would be a strengthening that will come from the church community. Bless her family, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'll get someone afterwards to give you some material. But God bless you for that decision. Okay. I think I have said everything. Okay. All right. We're just going to go out there afterwards. We'll just let the band play for a few minutes. But I just want to pray for you. And then we can go out there and just mingle. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you for your people, Lord. We thank you for the words that have been spoken today. I pray, Father, that as we go into these 7 days of fasting, that we would be naked and unashamed, Lord. That we would stand before you and not hide and not run from you as our Heavenly Father. That we would unmask, Lord, remove everything that's standing in the way. Father, may we only hear your voice. You said, who told you that you were naked? May we only hear you, Lord, and not any other voice, not the devil's voice, not our inner voice. Thank you, Father, that our identity is in you and our authority is in you. Bless your people, Lord. Bless every family that's represented here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If there's anybody who needs prayer, please come to the front and the leaders will pray for you. God bless you.